How you doing, eh? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Ayin Daled, Daf 74 of Masechta Bava Metzia. Friends, your friends. All right. Well, okay. The first Amud of Daf Ayin Daled is the first Amud of Daf Ayin Daled, and the second Amud, it's a little bit Gemara kind of. All right, let's do it. I feel like the last few days have been like. Kind of like anecdotally, anecdote-y. Says the Gemara in Daf Ayin Daled Amud Aleph, the first line of the Amud. Amar Rava says, Rava, ani beit losu d'yayve zuzi l'chad. I think I probably should have done this. I didn't realize. I probably should have finished with this yesterday, but okay, whatever. I'll do it now. Amar Rava says, Rava, ani beit losu, three individuals, d'yayve zuzi l'chad, that they each give money. Each one gives a chvesish, $100 bill. So Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, each one gives $100 bill respectively to Yehuda. Okay, the Mizab and Lehu, Midi, and Yehuda is supposed to go and buy them something. Mizav and Chad Menai, but only bought one of them, so he only spent $100 and bought one of them. So he didn't buy for all three; he bought for only one. Mizav and Lechulu, so they split it. V'lamar and Ella de Lotzar v'Chosim inish Lechude. That's only if. Right, the $100 bills were indistinguishable one from the other. So you don't know whose $100 bill he spent. Avol, tzar v'chosim, inish l'chudei, the man dezov and zov, the man dezov zov and lozov. But if it was, you know, if each one wrote their name on the $100 bill, so then it's clear whose he spent. So then he would, then that person would get the item that was purchased. All right. Omer Rapopi says Rapopi Vishme Derove Hai Situmto Kanyo. Alright. So basically it sounds like the winemongers, what they would do is they would go to the wine supplier and they would go into the cellar and they would mark the barrels that they wanted and then they would leave them there, and when they were ready they would then come and pick them up and take them out to sell them. So the question is, what's the status of that mark? Is that actually considered like a kinyan? So, Amar Papi says, Papi Shpeh Derave, Hai Situmta, these markings that they would put on the barrels, Kanya, Taka makes a kinyan. It's like the winemonger now owns it. It's his. Namayach, so what's the nafkamina? Rav Chaviva Amar Mekanya Mamish. Meaning, so what's the halacha? So if Chaviva says it's like it's mamish a kinyan. Rabbanan Amar the Kabuli Ala Mishapara. No, it's not an actual kinyan. It's more for Mishapara. That at that point, the supplier can't back out. Neither party can back out at that point. V'yuchsa le Kabuli Ala Mishapara. The halacha is taka Mishapara. That once you put a mark on the barrel, so at that point, you can't back out. You can't renege without Mishapara consequences. And in a place where the minig was that the mark would taka be mamish a kinyan. Now from the time that the winemonger marks the barrel, it's his. Well, then it's his. I mean, if that's the minig, that's the minig. Oya u trila lekotzim u givaldig. All right. So if So going back to the Mishnah, right? If you what did it say in the Mishnah? Okay, so if, right, this goes back to the forward contracts, right? That if Reuven is buying wheat from Shimon to be delivered later, so we said so if it's early, right, right to the harvest before. There's an established market rate. So we say, so long as Shimon already has sort of this pile of grain, that's enough to be considered yeshlo, to be considered that he has it, and that there's no issues of ribis. Omer Rav says, Rav, mechusar shtayim posek, sholosh eno posek, says, Rav, if the pile of grain is lacking two, is still lacking two processes that need to be done to it before it would be considered fully ready for sale, well, that's okay. But if there, it's still lacking three processes that are outstanding, well, then it's too early and it would not be considered yeshlo and it would be considered ribis. So again, Amar Rav says, Rav, mechusar shtayim, if the grain is lacking two processes, posek, so you could make a forward contract on it. Shalish, but if it's still lacking three processes, eino posek, then you cannot make a forward contract on it. It's not considered yeshlo. Shmuel Amar says, the distinction is not numerical in nature. It's not quantifiable in nature. Rather, it's qualifiable in nature. Shmuel Amar says, Shmuel, bidei odom afilu mea posek. Look, if what's lacking is something that is up to Shimon to do, well, then even if there are 100 processes that are still outstanding, it's okay, because it's just really up to him to just do it. But bidei shamayim, if there are things that are still up to God, you know, we're like still waiting for, you know, for something that's dependent on you know, the environment or waiting or whatever it is, or, you know, rain, wind. So these are things that are not in Shimon's control. So then even if they're afilu achas eino posek, even if there's only one outstanding process, it would not be considered yeshlo, right? So says Shmuel that really the distinction about is it in his power to be able to do these things. If that's the case, well then it's considered yeshlo. He just needs to do these things. It's up to him. But if these are things that are dependent on, you know, God, like to something that's depending on wind, as we're going to see soon, so then even if there's one process that's outstanding, it's going to be a problem, because, you know, who knows if it's ever going to happen. It's not up to him to do. Where am I? Afilu achas in a posek. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Posekim ala godesh. That Shimon, right there, that they can make a psika ala peiris on the pile of grain. V'omuchusar mishda b'cham l'miyabesh v'lemeidosh v'medra. But a pile of grain is missing some important processes, such as throwing it out in the sun to dry out, and then to thresh it, and to winnow it. I think that's called winnowing. You like throw it up in the wind or something. So that's three outstanding processes. According to Rav, that should be a problem. Why does the Mishnah say that you could do a psika ala peiris? Kigon, deshod bechama v'yobish, well, you had already thrown it in the sun, so it was already dried out, so the only things lacking were threshing and winnowing. But Shmuel had said that if it's bidei shamayim, then even if there's one outstanding process, it's going to be a problem. It will not be considered yeshlo. But what about the fact that it has not yet been winnowed? And to winnow, you have to throw it up in the air when there's a strong wind, and the wind will blow away the chaff. So that's up to God. So if that's the case, then how could it be considered yeshlo according to Shmuel? Efshur bin Abbasal. Well, you could always winnow with a sieve, you know, and not be reliant upon a strong wind. Vala ovit shel anovim, and on a vat of grapes. V'amuchusar michmer v'ayul levei maitzarto lemeidosh ulemingod. But the grapes are missing four processes. They have to be, where am I? Mechusar michmar, they have to ripen, right? You take grapes, I guess you put it in this vat, and then you wait for them to kind of ripen up and get like all like ready for juicing. Vayula leve matzarta, and then to bring it to the press, lemeidosh, and to, you know, stamp on it and to extract the juice, ulemingod, and then to move the juice from the vat to the cistern or something. So there's four outstanding processes. So, k'ditani Reb Chiya, like Reb Chiya taught, ala komer shel zeisim, ochanami ala komer shel anovim. Well, just like Reb Chiya, as we're going to see in a minute, taught about that when it comes to the olives, they're already ripe, if I'm not mistaken. Where am I? Yeah, exactly. They're already ripened, right? So therefore, that step is extra. Okay, but still, there's three processes that are lacking. You have to crush them. You have to bring them to the press, and then you have to crush them. Then you have to transfer the juice from the vat to the cistern. So ba'asra. Yeah, but the minig where they were was that the person who would buy it would then transfer it. So really, as far as is necessary for Shimon, there are only two outstanding processes pressing the grapes and bringing them to the press and crushing them. Velamaitin shel zeisim, and also on a vat of or a container of olives, v'amuchusar michmar. Yeah, but they have to ripen. V'ayula levei dape, and to bring to the press, v'lemeidosh, and to crush them, v'lemingod, and to move it from the vat to the cistern. Tani Rebchia, Rebchia taught al komer shel zeisim. We're talking about olives that are already ripe. Ha'ikat plus, okay, but there's still three outstanding. Ba'asro da'ud dizavin umangid. That yeah, but it's a place where the person who buys it would also be responsible for transferring the oil from the vat to the cistern. Vala beitzim shel yoitzer, and on the clay balls of a potter. So once they're like in these clay balls, you can already buy them, even though they haven't yet been made into pots. So you could already pay for them. Amai. How come? V'amuchusar lapufe, but you still have to shape them v'yabushe, and to dry them. Ayule la'asuna l'misraf l'meifak, and put it into the oven and to burn them and to take them out. Kigon demelapfa, well, v'yavishu. Well, they're already shaped and dried. V'ayikatzlas, but there's still three outstanding. Bring it to the oven, burn it, and take it out. I think meifak, I think is probably to take it out, right? Why not? Be'asa da'ud d'zavin. So where am I? Okay, but there's still three outstanding. So be'asa da'ud d'zavin who demapik. Well, it's a place where the person who would buy the clay or whatever would take it out from the oven. Where am I? V'alasid mishishakenu mishishkaenu. Bakivshan and on was it lime, I think? Once you put it in like the kiln. Veha mchusar makle veafuke umeidak, but it still needs to be burnt and taken out and crumbled. Basu da'ud dizovin aud da daik. So the one who buys it is the one who crumbles it, so therefore there's only two outstanding. But according to Shmuel, who says that if it's Bidi Adam, there can even be 100 that are outstanding. But as long as it's in his control to do them, it's fine. Lomeli Mishayishkaenu Bakivshon. Why is it only considered Yeshlo once he's already put it into the kiln? Even before he puts it into the kiln, I mean, putting in the kiln is Bidi Adam. So who cares? Ema Mishayroi, the Shaka Bakivshon. Once it's ready to go into the kiln, but putting it into the kiln itself would not be considered an outstanding activity. Valabetzim shel yoitzer, and on the dough balls, no, on the clay balls of the potter. Tanur Rabbanan Rabbi Sad, in poskim ala beitzim shel yoitzer, achi also divrei Meir. So Meir says that on the clay balls of the potter, yeah, you can't make a psika ala peris. You can't, make a forward contract until these clay balls have been formed. That's Reb Meir's opinion. When do we say this? For love, and that's only by white, dirt that was in short supply. So it was only considered available in Yeshlo once it's been shaped into these clay balls. Have a buffer shachar, but by black dirt, that by black dirt, which is readily available, so then kigon kvar chananya v'chavaseh, like in kvar chananya, kvar shichin v'chavaseh, in kvar shichin, they were known for their like pottery, and they used black clay. Poskin, afapisha in loze, yesh loze, so then you can make a psika ala peiris, you can make a forward contract, and even if you don't have the black dirt, but it's readily available. A memer yoiv zuza michima aile afra. So a memer, with regard to black dirt, he would already make a forward contract once, Shimon would already have the black dirt. So, come on, who's that like? Ikra Meir Omer Adche Ye Osu. Meir said that he would have to form the clay balls. Rabbi Yossi, if it's Rabbi Yossi, Amar Alfa Pishen Laza Yesh Laza. But Rabbi Yossi says that specifically when it comes to black dirt, you don't even need to, you know, Shimon doesn't even need to have them, you know, even because it's readily available. So Olam Rabbi Yossi, really it's like Rabbi Yossi V'Asvi Da Amemer. So really it's like Rabbi Yossi that in general black dirt you know, is readily available and Shimon doesn't actually have to have it in stock, but where Amemar lived the black dirt was harder to come by and therefore you had to at least have it in your possession to be considered Yeshlo. If so, therefore, where a memer lives, if you actually have the black dirt, so then the person buying it, you know, says, okay, fine, you have it. I'm paying money for it. But if you don't actually have the black dirt where a memer lives, so then you know, Reuven, who's laying out the money, doesn't actually expect to really be making a purchase. What does Rashi say? Samchadati l'chol echad v'achozer yikabel mishapara. And therefore, at that point, you know, once you once you have the black dirt, so then both parties will be in on it on the purchase. And if anybody reneges, it'll be mishapara. But lo samchadati in the last Rashi on the Amud. Duma lo. Mashkach Afer, maybe you won't be able to find the black dirt where Amemar lives. Veleka Mishapara, and there won't be Mishapara Shu Atzmo Lo Nismach Olav Elenosan Lo Ala Sofik. That in Amemar's town, if he doesn't actually have the black dirt, well then the person, you know, Reuben is putting down the money, he's not totally confident that there's going to be black dirt, and therefore he's just laying down the money on Sofik. Maybe he'll get it, maybe he won't get it, but he won't be Chayv for Mishapara in that case. I prematurely turned the page. For Sekimo la Zevel Koimo Sashana, so the Mishnah had said that when it comes to manure, so throughout the year you can always make a psika, you can always pay a forward contract for manure, because it's always considered readily available. Chacham Hanatanakam. So the Chacham, the Tanakam. Okay, so the Tanakam and the Mishnah had said that all year long you can have a forward contract for manure. Then Rabbi Yossi had said that no, you have to have the manure, right? You can't. It's not enough to just say yeshla. Meaning afa pishein laze yeshla ze. No, you have to have the manure. Chacham said no, it is permitted. So it sounds like the Chacham are saying the same thing. Meaning, what did the Chacham say exactly? Chacham matirim. Yeah, they just said it's permitted. So the assumption is that the Chacham are betzim saying the same thing as the Tanakama. That the Chacham Rebbe is saying the same thing as the Tanakama, that you know that right there. No, you don't need to have the manure. It's enough to have alpha pishay and lazeh ish lazeh. So Chacham Manu Tanakama. Chacham is saying the same thing as Tanakama. Rava says Rava Koyimos Agishamim Ike Benayu. The most Agishamim would be the Nafkamina. Right. That meaning, the Tanakama clearly said that you can make a forward contract for manure all year long. Winter, summer, all year long, doesn't make a difference. Now in the summer, the manure was, I guess, more readily available than in the winter, but the Tanakama says that you can have a forward contract for manure all year round. Was the Chacham, and then Rabbi Yossi says that no, you actually have to have the manure, and that would be Davka during the, during the summer. Sorry, so Rabbi Yossi says that as long as he has it, so then since then okay, yeshlo, so you can have a forward contract. The Chacham then make a sort of a subtle difference that the Chacham says no, you don't necessarily need to have it. That it could be afal pishein lazeh yeshlozeh, but the Chacham dafka limit it though. They don't say that it's all year round. It would be dafka in the summer when there's actually the manure has been dried and stuff like that, and it is readily available. So then you could say afal pishein lazeh yeshlozeh. But during the winter, however. The Chacham would not say that. So the Tanakama says that all year round, you could just assume that, right, that there's manure around. Rabbi Yossi says all year round, you have to have the manure in order to make a psika al peiros. And according to Chachamim, they say during the summer, you can assume that other people have. During the winter, you can't. All right, so now I think, it's not set in stone, but I think we're just going to try and get to the Mishnah now. Because this next Gemara, it's a shtick of real Gemara. We'll see how long it takes. If it takes 10 minutes, so maybe I'll do the next Mishnah too. But if it takes longer than that, so maybe I'll start tomorrow with the next Mishnah, because the next Mishnah also requires a little bit of thinking. Nothing crazy, but a little bit of thinking. And then the rest of the parak really is not very difficult. Okay. Fine. So, ufosakimo kishara gavoya. Okay, so the Mishnah had said that, okay, psika la peris, right? Psiko al aperis. It's a forward contract. That meaning, Reuven pays Shimon. Reuven pays Shimon now for wheat that Shimon is going to deliver later, and Reuven pays him based on the current market value. And the whole thing with psika al aperis is that when Shimon then delivers the wheat, so even if wheat has gone up in price, in value, still he will deliver it. Now, meaning at the current value, and it's not ribis, even though Reuven is getting more value than he paid for. Now the question is, what if it goes down in value? Right? What if the wheat decreases in value? So now what? Do we say that Shimon just delivers the amount of wheat that was paid for? And even though that means that, in retrospect, Reuven overpaid for it because it actually went down in value since the time that he paid for a saw of wheat or whatever it is. The question is, can Reuven demand, because after all, Reuven didn't give any money to Shimon. He did give money to Shimon, but he didn't make a kinyan, right? There was no wheat to make a kinyan. He gave money. Machlokes in Perek Hazov between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon about are Ma'os Konos or not. The Chachamim say Ma'os are not Konos, and it's only Misha Para. Reb Shimon says Ma'os Konos. So the thing is, Reuven only gave money to Shimon. So the question is, right, it's not technically a sale. Can Reuven say to Shimon, hey, the price of wheat has dropped, for the money that I paid, I want you to give me more wheat? So the Tanakhama says that Reuven would have had to have stipulated it with Shimon in advance, at the time of that he gave him the money. Right? Meaning, if Reuven says to Shimon, look, I'm giving you the money, in the event that the price of wheat goes down, I want you to give me more wheat for the amount that I'm giving you now. But if Reuven doesn't say that, so then he has to accept it at the, he just takes a saw of wheat or whatever, and yeah, sure, it means he overpaid for it. Reb Yehuda had said, no, even if they don't make that deliberate agreement, Reuven can still say, either you give me more wheat or I take my money back. So now, so there was a son-in-law, and the son-in-law the assumption is that his father-in-law sent him to go to the jeweler and to buy jewelry for a dowry for the father's daughter, the son-in-law's sister-in-law. Okay, right. So the father-in-law sent his son-in-law to pick up some jewelry for a dowry for this girl. The father-in-law's daughter, his sister-in-law. So he goes to the jeweler and he, puts down money for a future delivery of jewelry. So again, so Ahu Gavra, so this is the son-in-law, Diyayiv Zuzei Linedunyo Devechamua, that he gave money to a jeweler for a future delivery of jewelry for a dowry for his father-in-law's daughter, for his sister-in-law. L'sof zol nedunya. And what ended up happening was that at the time of delivery, actually the jewelry had gone down in value. It was worth less than the amount that the son-in-law had initially paid for. So l'chamidu Rav Papa, so they came before Rav Papa, Amalei, and Rav Papa says, Iposakta imoy kishar agavoya, Shokil Kasha. So if, right, so Rav Papa says, look, son-in-law, if you, at the time that you paid the money, said, hey, jeweler guy, if the jewelry decreases in value, well then, I want you to, give it to me for less or give me more jewelry or whatever it is, right? I want you to go based on the current cheaper value. So again, so ipasakta imo, so if at the time that you gave him the money, you said, look, if the price goes down, I want you to give me the cheaper price, so then shoko kadash to take, you can take based on the current You can go based on the current cheaper value. Ve'ilo, and if you didn't make that stipulation explicitly, shakil kimei ikara. So then you have to take, shakil kimei ikara, right. So then you have to accept the original, more expensive price. So Amule Rabbanu L'Rapape, Rabbanu then said to Rapape, Ve'iloi pasak, shakil kimei ikara. Says the Rabbanu to Rapape, wait, is that really true? Is that really true? That ilo pasak, that if they weren't explicit, that if the price decreases, then they would go based on the cheaper price. Then shakil kimei ikara, then the son-in-law needs to stick to the original more expensive price. But after all, maus ninu. After all, isn't it just money, right? At the time that the son-in-law gave money to the jeweler, there was no jewelry to make a kinyan on. That came later. So all the son-in-law gave to the jeweler was money. Umos lo kanu. And money doesn't make a kinyan. So therefore, why is he stuck with the original price? He never actually made a kinyan at that price. So Omer Lu, so Papa says to them, on Anami, yeah, I agree. There was no actual kinyan. Likabuli oli mishapara ko amina. All I'm saying is with regard to mishapara, who's going to be in trouble for, you know, mishapara doesn't sound nice, right? Right there. Mishapara, whoever exacted vengeance from the Dora Mabul and the Dora Flaga, he's going to get you. It's not a good thing. But yeah, the question isn't about if he made a kinyan at that price or not. It's about, is it considered that he had committed to that price? And if he reneges now, then he will be in violation of Mishapara. Rav Papa says, that's all I'm saying. I recognize that there's no actual kinyan. So again, Onanami, I also, the Kabuli, all the Mishapara call, you know, all I'm talking about is, if he will be in violation of Mishapara, I posak kishara gavoyo. So if they were explicit, that in the event of a price decline, they would go based on the cheaper price. Well, then mocher kahadar bay, in the event that the jeweler says, no, I won't honor that, I won't honor the cheaper price, well then, mikabel ole, mocher mishapar. So then the mocher, the jeweler, will be in violation of mishapar. Ilo posak. If they were not explicit that they would go based on the cheaper price, and now the son-in-law says, I want the cheaper price or I'm leaving. Well then, lokeach kahadar bay, if the son-in-law reneges, well, mekabel ole lokeach mishapara, well then the son-in-law would be in violation of mishapara. Now, fine, so this was all assuming, like the chachamim. This was all assuming, like the chachamim, that most einon konos, that money does not make a kinyan. And therefore, the whole question was who's in violation of Mishapara, but not actually, you know, who already made a kinyan at a particular price. So that assumes that the Tanakama, who says that they need to be explicit about the deal, assumes, like the Rabbanon, that Maus Einon Konos. I hope that's what I said a minute ago. Maus Einon Konos. So Amar Le Ravina the Rapapa, but Ravina says to Rapapa, Umimai, the Rabbanon he, the Pligaola de Rab Shimon. Why are we so convinced that the Tanakama is the Rabbanon who argue with Reb Shimon de Amre Mo's Konus, that the Lo Konu, that the rabbis say that Mo's are not Kona, and therefore it's a question of Mishapara. Vafilu hachi iposa kishar gavoyo shokil kidashta, and even so, if they were explicit that they would go based on the cheaper price, and they go based on the cheaper price, the current cheaper price. Ilo pasak, if they weren't explicit, shakil kidmei ikara. So then, they would go based on the original price, and if not, they would be in, right, if they weren't explicit, then they would go based on the original price, and if not, if the son-in-law backs out, it would be in violation of Mishapara. Dilma, perhaps Reb Shimini, maybe it's taka like Reb Shimon d'Amar Mo's Konos. Maybe it's taka like Reb Shimon. It's not a question of Mishapara. Maybe it's like Reb Shimon says, a mo's taka konos. In which case, it's not a question of Mishapara. It's a question of, did he already make a kinyan at that point? Was at that price? So in the event that the son-in-law had said, look, if the price decreases, then you're gonna, you know, give me more based on the cheaper price. Well, then shakil kiashta, then you go based on the current cheaper price. Ilo posik, shakil me kimei kar. And if there was no explicit agreement, well then, the son-in-law is already committed to the original more expensive price. Mishum dekani luzuze, because he actually made a kinyan at that time by when he gave the money, because ma'os konos according to Reb Shimon. Aval rabbanon, but according to the rabbis, bein pasak, bein lo pasak, shakil kiashto. But according to the rabbis, they would say it doesn't make a difference if they stipulated, right, if he said, well, if it goes down in value, I'm going to want the cheaper price. Regardless, according to the rabbis, we would say, Maos Einan Konos, there's no kinyan, and he has absolutely no commitment at all, the son-in-law. Right, Shakal Kiyasha, let him take at the current cheaper price. The Daita De Inish, Atara Zila. Because after all, you know, everybody just wants the cheaper price. And therefore, that was, right, that was his intention when he gave the money. Omerle, so if Papa says, look, we can't say that this is like Reb Shimon, who says that Maos Konos, because Amor de Omer Reb Shimon b'chad Tara. I'll say that when Reb Shimon says Maos Konos, that when Reb Shimon says that if a person walks into a, you know, goes to the goldmonger and he gives the goldmonger some gold for and some money and he receives gold right now, so I'll say, okay, once the customer gives the money to the goldmonger, at that point, you know, there was a kinyan according to Reb Shimon, and it's final. Nobody can renege at that point. That could be when we're talking about, you know, one value, that the value of the gold is not changing. So once you pay for it, it's yours. Betray Tari Mi Omar, but would Reb Shimon say that when the price changes, would he still say that Moes Konos, that giving the money makes a kinyan, such as over here when the jewelry was worth one thing at the time that the money was given, but then it became a different value? Would the Moes still be Konos? Would Reb Shimon still say that? Dilote Machi, and after all, I'll prove to you that Reb Shimon only says Moes Konos when there's one value. When the value doesn't change, that's when he says Moos Konos. Dilote Maochi, Mishapar Belokeach, Reb Shimon Leisle, because if that's the case, that Reb Shimon says that Moos are always Konos, well then how would you ever have a situation of Mishapara when it comes to Elokeach? Because according to Reb Shimon, right, if we're saying that in every scenario, whenever the customer pays, he now owns it, so then how could you ever have a situation of Mishapara? Mishapara is only when Moos are not Konos, but then there's still Mishapara. But if according to Reb Shimon, in every scenario, whenever money is given, then that's immediately a kinyan. So when would there ever be Mishapara according to Reb Shimon? If you'll say, yes, so what? So Reb Shimon doesn't have Mishapara. But we know that Reb Shimon does have a scenario of Mishapara. Because we have a brice that says, Mikomakom, Kachaloch aval omru, Chachom Mishapara v'chulei. That this is Reb Shimon saying that there's still a scenario of Mishapara. My Mikomakom, what does it mean, never, you know, in any scenario? Lav, Deloshna lokeach, Veloshna mocher. Is it not that Mikol Makom means that whether it's the buyer, whether it's the seller, there could still be a scenario of Mishapara? And therefore, in order for there to be Mishapara, there must be a scenario where Moos are not Konos. So, Elikikom Reb Shimon, Bichatare Bichetare Lo Omar. Rather, when Reb Shimon says Moos Konos, that's only when the value doesn't change. But if there are two separate values, such as over here, when there was one value at the time of the money, the giving of the money, but a different value at the time of the receipt, so then he would say the Moos are not Konos. And therefore, you know, you can't make that distinction to say that, well, maybe this isn't the rabbis, maybe it's Reb Shimon who says that Moos Konos. Reb Shimon would not say Moos Konos over here, because there are two, right, the value is changing. Omer Rav Achabrei derava the Rav Ashi, says Rav Achabrei derava to Rav Ashi. V'tepuk lei deshaliach shavya meikar. But now we ask the Kasha, and we say, but maybe, there shouldn't actually be any Misha Para if the son-in-law reneged, because after all, he's only a messenger, right? He's not the one, right? He's representing his father-in-law. His father-in-law is the one who's saying, wait, I want to pay the cheaper price, I'm reneging. It's not the son-in-law is reneging, so why should there be Misha Para? So, well, the son-in-law is Taka, a broker, he's a dealer, and therefore he would be the one in charge of making this purchase. Either he's purchasing it in advance for his father-in-law, or, you know, his father-in-law went to him because he's a broker, and somehow the son-in-law has some kind of interest in this sale, and therefore that actually makes him a party to it, and that is why there would be, right, Misha Para would be relevant. So, Chaver, I think I'm going to stop here. I think we've done enough for one daf. We'll start from the next Mishnah on tomorrow's daf, and tomorrow we will finish the Perek of Ezu Neshech Be'ezu Hashem. Peace out.